Good morning, church. Hope that you are excited to be here this morning. At Friendship, we celebrate the truth that the tomb is empty, the stone has been rolled away, and Jesus Christ is risen. Amen? The resurrection of Christ, it changes everything. If you are new with us, we are in a series of messages where we're exploring the I am statements of Jesus. In the Gospel of John, Jesus provides seven metaphors connecting himself to the provision and the promises of God in the Old Testament. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. And I am the good shepherd. And friend, with each I am statement, Jesus was revealing himself as the long-expected Messiah. These Messiah metaphors, they are comforting, they are rich in meaning, and yet there is more to them than meets the eye. Today we're exploring the I am statement found in John chapter 11, verse 25, where Jesus identifies himself as the resurrection and the life. I had a child ask me one time, they said, what is a resurrection? And so just to be clear, a resurrection is when something dies, and then what happens? They come back to life. Something dies, and then it comes back to life. When Jesus proclaims to be the resurrection and the life, he makes this declaration about himself in the context of a much broader story about his friend Lazarus, who died but didn't stay dead. I want us to read the story of Lazarus, and we're going to consider three different ways that many of us die on the inside, and then I want to help you see how the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it brings what is dead back to life again. So let's start reading in John chapter 11. We'll start in verse 1. John writes, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Drop down to verse 3, John continues saying, so the sisters sent word to Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Now, church, this is bad news in the middle of a good life. If I could pause for just a moment, I want to acknowledge that there are many in our church, there are many in our community who are hurting. Friend, we are surrounded by people who have received bad news. Maybe you received bad news that someone you love is sick. Someone that you're close to has been diagnosed with cancer. Or maybe you got news that the job that you love is being stripped away. Or your dream marriage is turned into a nightmare. Or maybe it's a friendship that hasn't worked out the way that you thought. Or maybe you got a phone call from school and it wasn't that your child was on the honor roll. You know what I'm saying, right? You've got some bad news. News that is not favorable. In John chapter 11, in the announcement of this bad news, Jesus says something that's really quite amazing. Look what our Lord says in verse 4. John writes, but when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not meant for death, but is for what? What did he say? It is for the glory of God. This sickness is not meant for death, but it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Friend, think about this. This very thing that you would never want to happen in your life. God can work through the bad to bring glory to himself. Now, let me give you a brief summary of verses 5 through 14. You can read it for yourself. But basically, everyone believes that Jesus is going to depart for the village of Bethany so that he can help Lazarus. But what does Jesus do? He does nothing. For 2 days, Jesus doesn't do anything. He stays put. Lazarus' family, they're saying, where's Jesus? Our brother's getting sicker, and Jesus hasn't shown up yet. Lazarus' family is freaking out. Jesus and the disciples are just hanging out. 2 days have passed. 2 days later, Jesus finally said to the disciples, he said, look, it's time. Let's go to Judea. And now the disciples are reluctant about going. They said, Jesus, if you go to Bethany, they're going to try to kill you. And friend, the disciples were right. What they said was true. But Jesus said, Lazarus has fallen asleep. And we need to wake him up. And just to make sure that we're on the same page, Jesus isn't saying that Lazarus is tired. He's not saying that Lazarus is taking a nap, right? Jesus uses another metaphor. He's pointing out that Lazarus is dead and Jesus needs to raise him from the dead. Now, let me share with you three different characters in this narrative and how each of them was dying on the inside. My guess is that you will be able to relate with one of these three individuals. Something within you is going to resonate with one of these characters that we point out. The first person is Thomas. And Thomas was dead in his doubts. How many of you can relate with doubting Thomas? I mean, all throughout Scripture, we know this disciple as doubting Thomas. Check out verse 16, John 11, 16. It says, therefore, Thomas, who was called Didymus. Everyone say Didymus. Sounds like a bad rapper name, doesn't it? Thomas, who was called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let's also go so that we may die with him. I don't know. It appears to me that Thomas turns into sarcastic, doubting Thomas. Thomas said to the others, he said, let us go also that we may die with Jesus. I believe Thomas is doubting. I believe he's pointing out that this trip to Bethany, it's not going to end very well. How many of you would be honest enough to say that you have had spiritual doubts at some point in your life? Would you just raise your hand? You've gone through a season of doubts and struggle. Those of you who didn't raise your hand, you can go ahead and just polish your halos for the next few moments so I can talk to the real people that's here. I think you would agree with me that we all, at one point or another, we have prayed and believed God could, and we thought that he would, but he didn't. And all of a sudden, you're bombarded with doubts. Why didn't God do this? Why didn't God do that? Or maybe your story is that you grew up with faith in God, but you went away to school, maybe you went away to college, and you ran into a professor or maybe a friend, and they began to question and challenge you and say, that stuff that you read about in the Bible, it didn't really happen. And all of a sudden, you're overwhelmed with doubt. And we began to question, is my faith real, or am I just clinging to the faith of my parents? We can easily be overcome with doubt. Or maybe you believed in God and something really bad happened to you or to someone you loved. And you began to question and say, well, if God is good, why did he let that happen? If God is all powerful, why didn't he stop this from taking place? And suddenly you're like Thomas. You are dead in your doubts. A second person we should consider is Mary. Because Mary was dead in her discouragement. Church, Mary was so discouraged, and we see her discouragement in verse 20. John tells us, so then Martha, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But what did Mary do? What does it say? Mary stayed in the house. Mary said, Jesus is coming, but why bother? What difference does it make? My brother is already dead. There's nothing that Jesus can do about it now. And friend, that might be where some of you are this morning. You can't see anything good happening in your life. You don't seem to be getting a break. You have reasoned and said, I can't change anything. I'm always going to feel alone. I'm always going to be depressed. I'm always going to be stuck in this dead-end job. I'm never going to have the marriage I thought I would have. I'm stuck. And some of you feel deeply discouraged. Now, we clean ourselves up the best we can. And we come to church, and many of us, we know the right language, and so we're even able to talk the talk. And yet inside of us, we're smiling on the outside, but on the inside, you are extremely discouraged. Some of us are dead in our doubts, dead in our discouragement. But some of you can relate to the third person in this story, and that is Martha. Martha was dead in the delay. Jesus took too long. Jesus should have arrived earlier, and he didn't. Why did Jesus take so long? We see it verbalized in verse 17. It says, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb. How long? How many days? Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. You may not know this, but in New Testament times, there was a commonly held belief that a spirit would stick around for 3 days after a person died. It's not a biblical belief. Their spirit would stay close for 3 days just in case the person came back to life. But on the fourth day, the spirit would leave. So in Martha's mind, this is day four. Lazarus isn't just mostly dead, but he is all the way dead. He is dead. He was dead and then some. So dead was Lazarus that when Martha tried to describe her brother's situation, God bless the King James translators who translated this. The King James says that Lazarus stinketh. At church, Lazarus was stanky. He had been dead for 4 days. And so according to the folklore of their time, his spirit was gone. He wasn't just mostly dead, he is all the way dead. And Martha is very direct with Jesus. Look in verse 21. Martha told Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Martha blamed Jesus, didn't she? She pointed out that Jesus took too long in getting to Bethany. She asked, "Why didn't you get here sooner when you could have done something to help my brother?" Some of you can relate with Martha because you feel dead in your delay. You're waiting for an answer to your prayers. I know married couples who are praying for a baby and they haven't been able to conceive, and it appears that everyone in your small group, they just look at each other and they get pregnant. And for you, it just hasn't happened. You're crying out to God. God bless us with a child. You're praying and believing God for a child, but all you've got so far is a delay. Or maybe you're praying for a loved one, and you're praying that they would experience the salvation of God, and yet the harder you pray, the further they seem to move away from God. And you begin to question and say, "God, why is this happening?" Some of you are praying and you're believing that God will heal someone that you care about. Church, I believe we serve a God who can do the impossible. I believe in a God who heals, a God who is still in the business of doing miracles. And yet, just like many of you, sometimes I pray and I pray and God doesn't provide the healing in the way that I'm expecting it to happen. And just like many of you, we feel dead. Dead in the delay. And friend, if that's how you feel this morning, I hope this truth will comfort you. I want you to never forget this. Listen, God's delays are not God's denials. Say that with me. God's delays are not God's denials. Church, just because God hasn't done something yet doesn't mean that God's not in charge. Just because God hasn't done something yet does not mean that he's not all-powerful. It doesn't mean that he's not all-knowing. And it certainly doesn't mean that he's not good. As we read through this narrative in John chapter 11, we see that Lazarus dies, Thomas doubts, Mary is depressed, Martha is mad at Jesus' delay. Everything in this story up to this point has been bad. I mean, all that we've read is bad news. But I want you to notice that the tone shifts in verse 22. But what happens in verse 22? In the previous verse, Martha told Jesus if he had gotten there sooner, her brother would still be alive. But then Martha said this to Jesus in verse 22. She said, "Even now," I want you to circle those words in your Bible. "Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Friend, I want you to say those words out loud. Say them after me. "Even now." One more time. "Even now." Martha looks at Jesus and she says, "I know that even now." Friend, can I tell you that even though you feel dead in your doubts or dead in your discouragement or dead in your delay, I want you to understand that even now, God will come through for you. You might feel stuck, but friend, if so, it is time for your faith to come alive. It's time for you to believe that even now, all things are possible with God. Some of you need an even now moment. Even now, while you're deeply discouraged, you need the presence of God to rebuild your faith, to restore your hope. Even now, while you feel alone, you need the presence of the Holy Spirit to grant you peace that surpasses all understanding. Friend, even now, our God is able to reach into your jacked up family and he can bring healing and restoration, forgiveness, and harmony. Even now, while everything around you seems impossible, you need to be reminded that you serve a God who still does the impossible. Even now, while your heart may be cold and calloused towards the things of God, God can soften your heart. He can draw you deeper into his presence. Even now, while there's something that is dead inside of you, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ can bring it back to life. And church, that's exactly what Jesus did in verses 23 through 26. Notice what he said to Martha. He said, Martha, your brother will rise from the dead. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. Now, Martha was confused because she viewed this resurrection that Jesus was speaking of, she saw it as something distant, something remote. Martha completely missed the fact that the true source of life, the true source of resurrection, was standing right in front of her. And so Jesus boldly said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? My question to you this morning, is there anyone here who really believes that Jesus is the resurrection and life? If so, say amen. Amen. He is the resurrection and life. It's not just what Jesus does, it's who he is. Friend, the resurrection is not an event. The resurrection is a person. Jesus' statement that he is the resurrection and the life, it really provides us a godly perspective on several spiritual matters. Whereas Martha believed that the resurrection is an event, Jesus showed her, and he showed us, that the resurrection is a person. Whereas Martha acknowledged her knowledge of eternal life was still an abstract idea, Jesus proved that knowledge of eternal life is a personal relationship that you and I share with Jesus Christ. Whereas Martha thought victory over death was a future expectation, Jesus corrects her, showing that victory is a present reality. And listen, church, dead things don't stay dead when the resurrection walks into the room. Amen? When Jesus shows up, dead things come to life again. So Jesus goes near the tomb where Lazarus lay. Lazarus stinketh, and yet Jesus instructs his disciples to remove the stone. In John 11:43, Jesus reports, he called out in a loud voice. And you say, why a loud voice? The answer is, I have no idea. Maybe dead people don't hear well. I don't know. But Jesus called out in a loud voice for Lazarus to come forth. And the scripture says the dead man came out, his hands and feet still wrapped with strips of linen. And he had a cloth around his face. And Jesus then instructed his disciples to unbind him and to let him go. Now, church, I love to contrast the story of Lazarus' resurrection here in John chapter 11 with Jesus' resurrection as it's reported in the Gospels. Lazarus, he's dead in a tomb. There's a stone blocking the entrance. Jesus is dead in the tomb. A stone is blocking the entrance. With Lazarus, Jesus tells the disciples to roll the stone away. But think about Jesus. Think about the women as they approached the tomb of Jesus early in the morning to anoint his body. They were discussing amongst themselves. And if you remember, the question was, who's going to roll the stone away for us? Some of you this morning, you feel dead on the inside. You've lost hope. You have some spiritual doubts. You're discouraged. Maybe you're dead in the delay. And the truth of the matter is that you feel this morning like you are trapped in a tomb. And you don't have the strength to roll the stone away. Well, friend, I've got some good news for you. The stone has already been rolled away. Stone has been removed. The same voice that called Lazarus out of the grave, that same voice is reaching out to you today. And he's saying, come out. Your sins can be forgiven, not because you're good, but because God is good. You can be set free, not because you're strong, but because God is strong. You can feel God's presence, not because you deserve it, but that's just how good our God is. Friend, the resurrection is not what Jesus does, it's who he is. Some of you say, well, what does any of this mean for us? Well, what difference does it make that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Well, let me share with you two key thoughts. The first is that Jesus is the answer to death for all of us. Jesus is the answer to death for all of us. In John 11:25, Jesus said, the one who believes in me will live, even though he dies. I want you to think about those words for just a moment. You can live even though you die. That is extremely comforting to us, right? To know that as a follower of Christ, death is not the end. Friend, we can be sure that death is not final. I remember during my first pastorate in Southern Illinois, our church hired a lady to keep the nursery during our worship services. And as I became better acquainted with her, she asked if I would mind to visit her father. Her father was in a nursing home. And she explained that her dad did not know Christ. And she wanted to know if I would be willing to share the gospel with him. I told her I'd be happy to do so. So when I visited with her dad, let's just say that he made it crystal clear that he was happy for me to visit, but he didn't want me to share the gospel with him. And so I visited with him many times, and he would engage in conversation. But you know, the moment I transitioned to share the gospel, this man would shut me down. Sometime later, several months later, our nursery worker informed me that her dad had passed away, wanted to know if I would be willing to preach his funeral. I told her that I would, and after I told her I would, it hit me. What do you say at the funeral of a man who refused to trust in Christ? You see, church, for him, there was no appeal to God. There was no hope of him being in heaven. How sad for this man to come to the end of his life, and he believed that after death, there was nothing at all. He believed that he was just passing into the dark, that he was just marching off the stage into eternal nothingness. The truth is, this man was wrong. Friend, there is a real heaven and there is a real hell that awaits each of us. And what we do with Christ now makes all the difference as to what Christ does with us at that time. So what would I say at his funeral? I preached the gospel. I preached the gospel. I made sure that everyone present understood that Jesus is our only hope. In the 26 years that I've served as a pastor, when it comes to the end of life, I have ministered to those who know Christ, and I've ministered to those who did not. And I've discovered that most people can fake religion most days. But friend, you can't fake it when you're staring death in the face. Church, in that moment, knowing Jesus makes all the difference in the world. Even in the saddest moments, I have witnessed the light of God on the faces of those who have lost a loved one. Even through their tears, they smile because they know Jesus. And Jesus makes all the difference. Friend, Jesus truly is the answer to death for all of us. And a second key thought is that Jesus is the victor over death for all time. Jesus went on in verse 26 to say, "And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." I think in some ways that is the most amazing statement that Jesus ever made, because he is clearly saying that death for the believer ceases to be death at all. Friend, death for the follower of Christ, it is merely the continuation of life in the presence of God. It's what Paul meant when he said that to die is gain. It's what Paul meant when he said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For the follower of Christ, death, it's merely a change of place, because there is so much more beyond this life on earth. Death is not death if it rids us of doubt and fear. Death is not death if it rids us of sickness and disease and of sorrow and sadness. Death is not death for the follower of Christ, because Christ has conquered death for himself and for all who place their trust in him. You know, here's something that you may not have considered. Lazarus was raised from the dead only to die again later. Why did Jesus raise Lazarus in John chapter 11? I'll tell you the answer, so that we would know that he could do it. That's why, so that we would know that he could. Think about it. Anyone could claim to be the resurrection and the life, but only the Son of God could do what Jesus did. Only Christ releases us from the fear of death. For there is a question that each of us must answer. And it's the same question that Jesus asked Martha at the end of verse 26. I think we have a tendency when we study this passage that we just overlook the question. But I think it really is the key to what Jesus said. The question is, do you believe this? Do you really believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Church, it's the question that you cannot dodge. In the end, truth must always become personal. And so I want to wrap up the message with six all-important questions. And I want you to answer these out loud for all to hear. And if you're watching online, you just type yes in the comments and we'll blow up the Facebook feed. So are you ready? Here's the first question. Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came from heaven to live on earth 2,000 years ago? Do you believe that? Do you believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he died in your place, enduring your punishment and paying for your sins? Do you believe that on the third day, Jesus physically rose from the dead, never to die again? And number four, do you believe that Jesus is now seated at the right hand of God the Father? Number five, do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and that he is able to remove the fear of death for all who trust in him? And number six, are you willing to stake your life on your answers to the first five questions? Friend, God became one of us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Lamb without blemish, without spot or wrinkle. The Bible says that while Jesus was on the cross, that the earth went dark. The earth began to shake. And everyone who had hoped that Jesus was the Messiah, they fell into despair and into darkness. They didn't realize that it was Friday, but Sunday was coming. When Jesus died on the cross for your sin and for mine, he died so that we could experience God's forgiveness and peace. But after 3 days in the tomb, what happened? On that third day, the resurrection happened. As Jesus rose victorious over sin and death in the grave. Listen, friend, when you come to Christ for salvation, I'm not telling you that everything's always going to be perfect. I'm not telling you that everyone that you pray for is going to be healed. I'm not going to tell you that your hair is not going to fall out. I'm not saying that you'll win the lottery or that life is going to be all honey and no bees. I'm not telling you anything like that. But what I am telling you is this: God is faithful. God is faithful. And he promises to never leave you nor forsake you. He is the resurrection and the life. Some of you this morning, you're dead in your sins. The Bible teaches that because of what Jesus did for us, our sins can be forgiven and we can be made brand new. Friend, God did something for us we couldn't do for ourselves. The tomb is empty. Christ is risen, and his resurrection changes everything. You know, growing up, I thought I had to try hard to be good. I thought that I had to be better than others. I didn't realize that the internal doubts that I had, all of those things, the fear of not measuring up, all of that was because I was dead in my sin. I didn't realize that dead things don't stay dead when the resurrection walks into the room. Friend, the same one who called Lazarus out of the grave, he is calling you out of your sin today. Jesus says there is forgiveness, there is grace, there is healing. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how big your doubts are or how alone you feel or how much you've messed up. Friend, when you turn from your sin and you surrender your life to Christ, he forgives you and you'll be filled with the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Jesus is calling you right now to come forth. Will you give your life to him? Right where you are, you just tell him this morning, Jesus, be the Savior and Lord of my life. No more pretending. No more playing games. Jesus, I'm choosing to turn away from sin and self. Take my life as I surrender myself to you. And friend, as you step across that line of faith, commit to serving him, you'll become part of the family of God. If you surrendered your life to God, but you've never made that decision public, I would encourage you to do so before you leave today. In just a moment, when the congregation begins singing, you meet me down front and let us celebrate with you your decision to follow Christ. If you're watching online, just leave a comment and one of our staff will reach out to you. If God is leading you to connect with the Friendship family, then take that step of faith and become a part of this fellowship today. You'll be glad that you did. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Father, your word says that your mercies are new each and every day. Father, I thank you that you meet us at our point of need. Some of us are dead this morning inside. We may be dead with doubt. We may be dead with discouragement. We may be dead with delay. We've prayed, we're trusting, we're believing. And we're still waiting for your provision. God, meet us at our point of need this morning. And I pray that you would fan the flame of faith and hope within us. God, remind us today that when the resurrection shows up, the dead things come back to life again. Maybe it's a relationship, a friendship. Maybe it's our faith, our hope. Father, whatever it is that needs to be rebuilt or restored, I pray that you would do that today as only you can. Father, we believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and that all things are possible through him. God, do your work in us today, in our lives and in your church. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.